Live from our nation's capital, it's the Inside Scoop with Mark Levin.
Good afternoon, America. Welcome to the Inside Scoop. I am your host, Mark Levin, reporting live from the Washington, D.C. area, where everyone is talking about impeachment. The articles of impeachment, two of them actually are being drawn up as we speak to be presented before the Judiciary Committee. One of them on abuse of power, how the president has been using his official power to promote his own personal private ends, most notably with Ukraine, and the other on obstruction of Congress. Clearly, when the President of the United States refuses to cooperate in any way with his impeachment, he's obstructing Congress, including preventing people from testifying. As we talk this hour, I want to make clear that the Democrats are putting forward uncontested evidence. You can't dispute the facts here. No one disputes that the president asked a foreign power to find dirt on his opponent. We know that because the president said so himself before cameras, because he said so on the telephone. No one disputes that he was withholding military aid for no reason whatsoever until caught caught in this scheme to withhold the aid as a condition of requiring dirt. No one disputes that he was saying specifically that you can't get the aid and you can't get a visitation at the White House unless you make up some dirt on Biden. In fact, as the Democrats pointed out, there's actually a text where the Ukrainians are trying to say, look, we don't want to be corrupt. We just went through government after government that was corrupt. We finally elected someone who's promised not to be corrupt. Please, America, don't make us corrupt. We are a free democracy. You're corrupt, America. Please, please don't force us to be corrupt. So they said, all right, we'll promise to do investigations, but we won't mention Biden. We won't mention Burisma. We won't mention the company Hunter Biden's working for. We won't mention the 2016 elections. We just promised to do investigations. Giuliani said, not good enough. Revise it. Remember, the Trump administration was focused not on actually doing the investigations, but on announcing the investigations. The exact opposite of the way investigations normally work. Normally, you want to investigate something because you believe a crime has been committed. Normally, you do not want to announce that investigation and tip off the person you think has committed a crime to the fact that they're being watched. So normally, investigations are very, very quiet, and that's how you catch a criminal. But if your goal is not to catch a criminal, if your goal is simply to ruin an election, well, you'll want to do what James Comey did to Hillary Clinton in October of 2016, a week before the election. You want to announce something as if something terrible is going on, even if nothing terrible is going on, because that will get voters to vote the other way. And that's exactly what was demanded. We can go through this hour all of the uncontested facts. They're actually pretty simple. It's one of the reasons why the Democrats did not add other articles related to the fact that Donald Trump has been stealing money from the Treasury, putting it into his hotels, violations of the Emoluments Clause. Didn't bring in the fact that Donald Trump has actively requested that Russia intervene in our elections, or that he welcomed the help of Russia's intervention, or that he's been looking for China or Britain or Australia or Italy to intervene in our elections. None of that. Purely on Ukraine. The Republicans don't have a leg to stand on, factually, because the facts are undisputed. No one has disputed the quid pro quo. The president's chief of staff said so. He said, it's a quid pro quo, get over it. So no one disputes the facts, and there was not a single person that came forward that disputed the facts. If you saw some of the testimony yesterday, the facts they were disputing were really stupid. For example, one of the facts that the Republican counsel disputed was whether or not Joe Biden had a chance to win the election. They said, isn't it true that Joe Biden was one of Donald Trump's rivals after he announced that he was running for the Democratic nomination and had a good chance of succeeding? And their counsel said, no, I don't agree that Biden was his political rival after he announced he was running for president. That's kind of hard to get your mind around. So they really don't have any facts to dispute. So when you don't have the facts to dispute, they tell you, talk about the law. Say it's not impeachable. That was Mick Mulvaney's choice. Yes, of course we did quid pro quo. Yes, of course the president used his official power to help himself personally. Yes, of course he used all this congressionally mandated aid and used it to funnel it into his campaign. Of course, it's done all the time. Get over it. It's not impeachable. And the Republicans could make that argument. But it's kind of hard to make that argument when everyone in the Trump administration who's testified has agreed that using your presidential power for personal ends is in fact impeachable. That actually when Congress appropriates money, it doesn't belong to the presidential campaign. Believe it or not, it's actually taxpayer money that belongs to what Congress says it goes to. You can't just put it into your campaign. And everyone agrees that that's wrong. So they don't have the facts. They can't pound the facts. They don't have the law. They can't pound the law. So they pound the table. And I think it was 42 times the Republicans tried to disrupt the proceedings yesterday. Just yell and scream and hope that someone doesn't notice that the president is guilty, guilty, guilty beyond a reasonable doubt. But what's so fascinating about this is with what contempt the Republican politicians treat their own voters. They must think their own voters are complete idiots because they keep proffering the same ridiculous conspiracy theories one after the other, apparently believing that their voters are stupid enough to believe them. So when they peddle Vladimir Putin's conspiracy theory that said that, Russia did intervene in the elections, even though every single intelligence agency of the United States and around the world says they did, and no one says they didn't. It was Ukraine, Russia's enemy. Well, let's just say Russia's how do you describe a territory that you want to own? Ukraine really isn't the enemy of Russia, but Russia wants to reconstitute the Soviet Union. To do that, they're going to have to conquer Ukraine. They're in an active war with Ukraine. They've already taken 7% of Ukrainian territory. So let's just say that the country that Russia wants to subjugate, claiming that somehow Ukraine has the democratic server that Russia hacked into. When you think about how ridiculous this is, folks, do y'all even know what a server is? Do you really think Ukraine came over to the United States and grabbed the actual physical server out of the DNC headquarters and brought it back to Ukraine? Was it some kind of undercover operation where they're all wearing black? And I don't know. It's ridiculous. Everyone says it's ridiculous. But Republicans must believe in conspiracy theories. It's all they have. Either that or they have to admit that they're wrong, that their president is corrupt, that their president is the most corrupt president in American history. So rather than believe that, they will tell you 2 + 2 = 5. Remember, this is the president that said he had people in Hawaii proving that Barack Obama was not born there. He was born in Kenya. Remember that one? Or his proof that Ted Cruz's father killed Kennedy? Remember that one? Or how about the non-existent basement of a DC pizza parlor where Hillary Clinton was supposedly involved in some kind of child sex ring? Remember that one? Or just the fact that Sean Spicer said that President Trump had more people at his inauguration than Barack Obama, even though we all can see photos? I mean, it would take this entire show to point out all of the ridiculous, wild conspiracy theories that Republicans are throwing at the wall, hoping they stick for a little bit, and then moving on. The most ridiculous conspiracy theory was the idea that while Hillary Clinton should have been investigated for, what, for a couple emails getting out, when Donald Trump is actually on a cell phone in Ukraine being monitored by Russian intelligence as he talks about Putin's conspiracy theories. While they argued that there was a horrible conspiracy to look into Donald Trump's collusion with Russia. Well, so they did a 2-year full investigation by the independent inspector general. And if you watch Fox News, you know that every day they're talking about it. Horowitz is going to come out. The inspector general is going to show they were spying on Donald Trump. And, you know, Lisa Page and Strzok and all these people who didn't like Trump were actually putting their finger on the scale. I don't even remember all these conspiracy theories. Well, Horowitz has just put out a comprehensive 2-year study, hundreds of pages report, detailed with evidence, all showing it's all a lie. What? Donald Trump lied to us again? Yes. There is no conspiracy. Actually, the FBI got news from Australia that Russia and Trump were cooperating one with the other, and so they investigated it. And actually, that whole Steele dossier you hear a lot about had nothing to do with it. And actually, the agents were as much pro-Trump as anti-Trump. They had private messages talking about how good Trump was and how bad Hillary was, just like those other messages from Lisa Page and Strzok. And guess what? That didn't affect it at all. What little errors were made, what minor errors were made with the application before the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court, those were errors. Those need to be fixed. Had nothing to do with the investigation. So now that the entire conspiracy theory has been dismissed, the lackey working for Donald Trump, the Attorney General, Bill Barr, says he's going to look again. He's going to find it. He is as sure to find corruption as Donald Trump has proof that Barack Obama was not born in Hawaii, and as much as Ted Cruz's father killed Kennedy, and we can be assured of that. And he's got his guy, John Durham, who's supposedly doing a criminal investigation, except that Durham, much like they wanted Zelensky to do of Ukraine, announced there was something wrong here. He couldn't quite place it. He didn't know what it was, but we're going to talk about it soon. If he were truly doing a criminal investigation, he wouldn't be announcing anything at all, as we've discussed. So who believes this? Who believes this nonsense? Who believes that Donald Trump, that Barack Obama was born in Kenya, that Ted Cruz's father tried to kill Kennedy, that the inauguration crowds were larger than ever before? Who believes that Donald Trump is the victim here? Well, you can call them idiots. You can call them the Republican base. But the one thing we're sure of is that Republican politicians believe their supporters are idiots. Because no intelligent person can look at this evidence and come to any other conclusion. What happened to the Republican Party? What happened to conservatives who used to oppose dictatorships like those in Russia and Saudi Arabia, that didn't used to believe conspiracy theories, that used to be patriotic enough to believe in our troops and our dedicated public servants? Where is that Republican Party? We'll talk about it more after the break. Call in if you like, 888-48-MARK, 888-48-6275. Right back after this.
He's a Fulbright scholar and he speaks French, but he couldn't tell you who won the Super Bowl. It's Mark Levine. Give him a call now at 888-488-MARK. That's 888-488-6275. And now, the voice of reason in an unreasonable world, Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine. What are we to make of today's Republican Party? A party that is more invested in clearly ridiculous conspiracy theories than in conservative values, than in wanting to govern the country. Where have they gone off the rails? Why do they support corruption? I think to understand why corruption is the natural state of today's Republican Party, you really have to go back to Ronald Reagan. Now, Ronald Reagan, to be fair, very much detested the evil empire, fought against dictatorship. That's not the issue. The issue is that Ronald Reagan taught America that government could never work, that the American government could never be trusted. The government, government of the people, by the people, and for the people, in Lincoln's famous words, could not work. That the Constitution could not succeed, that checks and balances don't work, that the government is somehow evil, even though the government in a democracy is us, right? In a fair democracy, and we have to get rid of the Electoral College and gerrymandering and, frankly, the Senate, but in a fair democracy, we choose the government. So to attack the government is to attack we the people. Although I concede that, you know, 3 million more people voted for Hillary Clinton. So this government is not the people's government. But in general, when you look at the Republican argument that the government is evil, that the government is out to get you, the government can never succeed, you have to think about the people then that enter that government running on that principle. Right? Democrats that run for government do so because they think government can do good. They think government can help people. They want to use the resources of all of us to help everyone else. That's why Democrats support health care and aid to schools and transportation and Medicare and Social Security and college and spending on health and medical advances. The Republicans teach that government cannot succeed, that government is always wrong, that government, in fact, is a failure, that our whole constitutional experiment can't work because you can't trust the government, because you can't trust the people. Now think about running for office under that value. I'm running for office because I want to shrink government, because I think government can't succeed, because I think that government is a failure. Well, what's your point in being in government? What's your goal? I would argue that the best thing that Republicans can do in government is to profit by it. If the goal of government is not to serve the people, then maybe they're entering government to serve themselves, right? So when Donald Trump wants to spend hundreds of millions of dollars on his hotels, your money, taxpayers' money, or his golf courses, or use his power to allow his children, Ivanka and Jared, to make $70 million off his name.
What?
Then that kind of corruption is natural to a party that believes that the only reason to enter government is to profit yourself. Maybe that's why they're not surprised at what Donald Trump is doing. Maybe that's why they support it. We'll get to more after this break. 888-48-MARK, 888-48-6275 if you want to join the discussion. Back after this.
Back to the Aggressive Progressive, Mark Levin.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levin. So why is it that Republicans really support corruption in government? Why is it that they want the president to steal us blind? What's in it for them? Part of it, I think, is that they are taught to believe other things, right? They're watching Fox News. So they're like, oh, well, the president donated his salary, without mentioning the $20 million given to his properties by his campaign in the Republican Party alone. Well, $20 million is a lot more than $400,000. Or the hundreds of millions spent at his property by the Secret Service. Remember, he wanted to have the whole G7 at Doral. This is a guy who's using the institutions of government to pad his pockets. His kids do even more. Jared and Ivanka made $73 million last year just trading on their dad's name. It's amazing to me to hear people complain about Hunter Biden when what Jared and Ivanka are doing are 100 times that, more than 100 times that. But the essence is, when you think about it, if you're not going to go into government to help others, what other reason is there to go into government but to help yourself? Remember, this is what dictators do, right? This is what we find happens with Vladimir Putin, happens with Turkey, happens with Saudi Arabia, happens with dictators all over the globe. Some of the richest people in the world are people who run their countries and use it to pad their pockets. And if you don't think government can serve the people, maybe it's okay just to use it to serve yourself. I wonder if most people, when they donate to Donald Trump's campaign, realize the money is going directly into his pocket. In fact, I posted just an Open Secrets tag to show $20 million gone from Donald Trump's campaign into his pocket, and you can look up the data for yourself. But when it comes to this impeachment, it all depends on what you think the role of government is. If you think the role of government is to serve the people of the United States, if you think the role of government is to be patriotic and to care about executing the laws faithfully, then you don't want the president using his power to promote his political agenda. If you believe in fair elections, you don't want the government using your taxpayer dollars to rig elections in his favor. But if you just want power, if your goal isn't to be patriotic, isn't to care about Americans, it's simply to install someone in power, well, I mean, there are dictators all over the globe that install themselves in power, rig elections, spread conspiracy theories. I mean, you probably want to move to Russia because Vladimir Putin is your hero, just like he's Donald Trump's hero. I mean, look at Saudi Arabia. There was a time not too long ago when there's a terrorist attack in Florida committed by a Saudi national, and people would be really angry about it. They wouldn't be defending the very country that trained the terrorist. But up is down. North Korea, which has nuclear missiles trained at the United States, is now good, I guess. Hong Kong, fighting for democracy, is bad, I guess. Vladimir Putin, the evil empire, is good to Republicans, but Ukraine, fighting for democracy against evil empire, somehow is bad. We're in topsy-turvy land. George Orwell told us this would happen in 1984. He told us that we would be taught that freedom is slavery, and war is peace, and ignorance is strength, and that people would actually be taught to say 2 plus 2 equals 5. He warned us. He was just about 25 years too early. He warned us that this would happen. So why do people believe this? Why do they fall into this Kafkaesque idea that even when you make up a crazy conspiracy theory, and even if it's debunked, then you have to investigate the investigators. This is what the Soviets used to do. Investigate the investigators. And then when you investigate the investigators, you find nothing's wrong. You investigate the people who are investigating the investigators. And the investigations never end, and you never find anything. Unlike the Mueller report, which has 19, 20, I've lost count how many indictments, how many has Barr found done anything wrong? None. Because there are no crimes being committed by people investigating Trump. There are no indictments there. There aren't going to be. They're just going to announce these investigations. And the real question is, if you're a Republican, I defy a single Republican on the planet to answer this question. What the heck is Rudy Giuliani doing right now in Ukraine? Well, we can listen to Giuliani. He told us what he's going to do. He's going to meddle. His words, meddle. He's going to meddle in the elections to serve his client, Donald Trump. Giuliani said that's what he's doing. He's going to push them to get dirt on Biden. He said so. And he's still doing it. For those who think that impeachment is not necessary, wait for the next election. What happens when a president rigs the next election? That's what happened in Turkey. That's what happened in America in 2016. We have a president who is so unembarrassed by corruption that he's doing it right now, right under our very noses. Rudy Giuliani right now is doing it. Now, is Giuliani the president's personal lawyer? In which case, why is the president telling the Ukrainian leader to talk with him? Why are Sondland and Yovanovitch and all of our foreign service officers told, you got to do what Giuliani wants if he's just the president's personal lawyer? Is he working for the government? If so, why is he working so hard to spread conspiracy theories to help the Donald Trump campaign? If you ever had any doubt that the president was abusing his power for personal ends, the answer can be explained in one word. Giuliani. Giuliani is the symbol, is the example, is the obvious way in which the president is corrupt, in which the president is breaking the law, in which the president is using his power as president of the United States to help him for personal ends. So what argument do Republicans have? The stupidest one, maybe it's my favorite though, is the argument that you don't have any direct evidence. All you have is hearsay. All you have directly is the president saying so publicly, Mick Mulvaney saying so publicly, Gordon Sondland saying so publicly. All you have is the guy who overheard Donald Trump say, did you get the dirt? Did you get him to do the investigation? Zelensky loves your ass and he'll do anything you say. But that's not enough. That's not enough. And you know what? Even though that evidence is lockstep guilty, it's true. Would I like to see Giuliani testify? You betcha. And Barr, because he's involved in this. The president's been using him. And Secretary of State Pompeo. Absolutely. And John Bolton, writing a book on all the corruption. He's the guy that said, I don't want to get involved in whatever drug deal Trump is cooking up, whatever corruption he's involved in. I don't want to get involved in that. Why isn't Bolton testifying? Why won't they turn over any documents? Why won't they turn over any of the notes? Richard Nixon turned over virtually everything except the tapes and lost when he tried to stop the tapes. They're turning over nothing. One of the reasons why Sondland doesn't really know what's going on, because let's face it, he's not a professional. He doesn't take notes. He gave $1 million to the president's campaign, to the president's inauguration in order to become an ambassador. So he said, I could know much better if you'd let me have my notes, but the president won't let me have my notes. Is there any doubt in your mind that all of this testimony, all of this information, that if Pompeo and Mick Mulvaney and Giuliani and Barr and were to testify, were to release their documents, is there any doubt in your mind that that would show that the president is even more guilty than the evidence already shows? Here's how you know it's true. If any of these people had what's called exculpatory information, information to show the president's innocence, they would jump at the chance to testify. Are you telling me that Rudy Giuliani would not testify if he could prove the president were innocent? Are you telling me that Barr or Pompeo would refuse to come forward if they had information showing the president knew nothing about this scheme or the president didn't have corrupt intent? Of course they would. It's interesting. In the law, you are allowed to plead the Fifth. You are allowed to use the Fifth Amendment to the United States Constitution so that you don't incriminate yourself. And that's part of our Bill of Rights. And if you try to force someone to say, you know, did you kill the person? They can say, I'm not going to answer that question. If they answer it and they say no, and they did, well, that's perjury, right? So they'll just not answer the question. But interestingly, and this is little known, let's say you have a civil case as well as a criminal case. For example, O.J. Simpson, right? He refused to testify in his criminal case, but a civil case for wrongful death was brought against him. And then he can be forced to testify. If he refuses and says, I'm not going to testify because what I say is going to incriminate me, you can use that testimony against him. He lost the wrongful death suit. Here's the heart of it. Under the law, there's a clear principle that says, if you refuse to testify, lest what you say will incriminate you, we can presume that everything you say would harm you. So here's the answer. Giuliani, in effect, has testified that his client was corrupt, was guilty, was absolutely involved in the quid pro quo, was absolutely involved in trying to use congressionally mandated aid, taxpayer dollars, for his personal campaign. We may presume that legally. Because if it weren't true, Giuliani wouldn't be running from his subpoena. And neither would Pompeo. And neither would Barr. And neither would Bolton. They would all come forward. So that's why Republicans claim, oh, this is all hearsay. It's all hearsay because we've prevented direct evidence from coming forward. Republicans, in effect, believe that if a president covers up wrongdoing, he should be rewarded by his cover-up. That people who commit crimes should be encouraged to destroy evidence, cover it up, obstruct Congress, and not come forward. Because they argue, if you cover it up, if you obstruct Congress, if you break the law, you should not be found liable. That's their argument. And I want you to think about how far that goes. Because if Donald Trump is impeached, and he will be impeached, but not removed from office, if that happens, this is carte blanche for every president, Democrat or Republican, from now in the future, to simply refuse to do anything with Congress. In all 44 prior presidents of the United States, every single one of them, from George Washington to Barack Obama, responded to congressional subpoena, answered questions when Congress asked them. Oh, there were some fights about a few battles here and there, but none of them denied that Congress had the right under the Constitution to investigate executive behavior. None of them, until now. This is the first president of the United States to say, I don't agree with the Constitution. I don't agree with the concept of co-equal powers. I don't believe that Article 1 confers upon Congress anything. I'm in charge here. Article 2 decides it all. The president controls it all. Congress, you want to put forward aid? I can just deny the aid. Congress, you refused to build a wall? I'm going to build the wall without you. Congress, you want to investigate what I've done? I won't let you. Congress, you want to impeach me? I won't allow that either. I won't even cooperate in my own impeachment because I know I'm guilty. And if I were to cooperate, everyone knows I'd be found even more guilty. We have never had a president so clearly say they are above the law. Even Richard Nixon, when he said if the president does it, it's not against the law, he didn't make that claim till after he resigned from office. Remember, Republicans, those of you who actually are still patriotic Americans, when you insist on the principle that the president is above the law now, this will come back to bite you later. If a Democrat wins in 2016 and Congress, it remains Republican, you can't ever investigate that president for anything. You don't like Elizabeth Warren's plan on health care? Tough. You can't investigate it. She's not going to do it anything. If Donald Trump didn't have to explain his corruption, why should Elizabeth Warren have to explain her health care plan? Republicans, when you vote against convicting this president, you are supporting the concept of president as dictator, which is why there are patriotic Republicans who've stepped back from that brink. People like Jeff Flake, people like Mitt Romney, people like Justin Amash, who left the Republican Party rather than defend the principle of dictatorship and corruption. If Republicans actually oppose corruption, they need to stand up for their country. The time is now. I've been giving letters for impeachment since we first heard about Donald Trump's corruption. I'm now ready to give the final letter. I-M-P-E-A-C-H-M-E-N-T. Donald Trump will be impeached. He'll be impeached before Christmas. He'll be impeached based on uncontested evidence. He'll be impeached based on uncontested evidence and all the evidence of the people who've refused to testify because he's covering it up. He'll be impeached based on obstruction of Congress because he refuses to cooperate with the investigation. The question is not whether Donald Trump will be impeached. He will be. The question is whether he will be removed from office. The question is whether Republicans in the United States actually oppose corruption and abuse of power, or want so much to have power now that they're willing to sacrifice the United States for centuries to come. You know, I know, Republicans, you like Mike Pence. He'll become president. It won't be Nancy Pelosi. She's third in line. Pence is second in line. The American people who voted for Hillary Clinton still won't get their way. The minority vote that Donald Trump won on the Electoral College, his ticket will still be there. The real question is whether or not you support abuse of power. Do you support a president pocketing your taxpayer money? Do you support a president using the intense power of the presidency for his own personal ends? Because if you don't, Republicans, and yet you oppose removing this president on these uncontested facts, you are laying the groundwork for centuries of corruption to follow. May you never, ever complain about a Democratic president abusing their power ever again. You would lose that right. So think carefully, Republicans, because is your loyalty to this nincompoop, this corrupt, uninterested, lazy thief, con man that we all know is full of lies? I think he's told what they've documented 14,000 lies in 4 years, something like 20 something a day. I mean, Republicans, do you really think Ted Cruz's dad killed Kennedy? Try to suspend your Fox News and just think logically, Republicans. Was Barack Obama born in Hawaii? Yes. Did Ted Cruz's dad kill Kennedy? No. Did the transcript of that call say what it says it did? Yes. If it quacks like a duck, walks like a duck, acts like a duck, it's a duck. And if there were any facts contesting this president's guilt, they would have been brought forward long ago. This is Mark Levine. I'll be back for a closing thought right after this.
He's a Bible-quoting, Constitution-loving, flag-waving, red-blooded, liberal American. He's Mark Levine. Back to the aggressive progressive, Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine. I am P-E-A-C-H-M-E-N-T. We are here. The president will be impeached. The trial will begin in the Senate. It'll happen in January. If someone accuses you of a crime that you didn't do, what would you do? Right? The police knock on your door and say, "Sir, we believe you murdered John Smith in Portland, Oregon, yesterday." You'd say, "What? Who? What are you talking about? I wasn't in Portland, Oregon. I don't know John Smith. I think you've got the wrong guy." That's what you do if you're falsely accused of a crime. What do you do if you're truthfully accused of a crime? You slam the door in their face. You say, "I'm going to get my lawyer." You scream. You yell, "This is unfair." You say, "You are a bunch of corrupt and biased people. You're out to get me. This is a hoax. This is a witch hunt. I want my mommy." Okay, you may not say that. But think about it. Think about how you'd respond if someone accused you of a crime you didn't commit. Would you get... You might be upset, but I think what you do is calmly say, "Officer, you got the wrong guy. I don't know what you're talking about." You wouldn't attack the whole process. You wouldn't refuse to let your friends testify. You wouldn't hide your papers and your tax returns. You'd say, "Look, I have nothing to hide. I did nothing wrong." That's not what the Republicans are saying. This is Mark Levine. I'll be back on Thursday. Don't